وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him abundantly. May Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His salutations and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have a question for all of you. And based on the answer, we will tailor the discussion. And the question is, what are some of the challenges that the Ummah is facing today? We have many challenges. Maybe we can enumerate some. But I hope someone will highlight one challenge that I want to discuss. But we can hear any answer. What are some of the challenges? Is everything, the Ummah is in excellent condition, right? Mint, mashallah. Immaculate. We have no problems. True? True or false? False. We have issues, right? What are some of these issues? Everybody's too tired after a long tarawih? It's nice to pray for a long time. Alright, I guess I'll have to cut through the chase. One of the issues we have has to do with our relationship with each other. I would say the English term is being considerate, or the lack of it. Being inconsiderate. And I will highlight a number of examples that have to do with what you see on a daily basis. I like to keep the discussions factual, not hypothetical, theoretical, things that you see every day. Whether within the masjid proximity or outside the masjid, you will see that we have an issue in being considerate towards each other. Let's begin with one common phenomenon. That which has to do with double parking. Double parking, especially if you need to buy food. Because the food in Tamiz is part of the aqidah that some people adhere to in Ramadan. At any expense, he must get the food. Even if this means that you would park behind a parked car, turning a three-lane street into one lane. So you can have now 300 cars all trying to squeeze through one lane. Everyone will be delayed to make it to their masjid, to make it home. No problem. As long as you get your food, it's okay. This is one of the most insane behaviors we can ever display, yet it happens every single year, and I think many of us are guilty, even once. We fall into this trap. This lack of consideration towards others is the most un-Islamic behavior you can imagine. Besides the fact that it displays immense selfishness, someone is so selfish, the harming the believers is a big crime in Islam. You know that the sins between us and Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sins we commit against ourselves, those can easily be dealt with on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah might forgive them, or Allah might test us with a calamity. And the patience we display for this calamity will wipe out these sins. Or we do good deeds that will erase bad deeds. You have like tens of options. But the things which harm others, there is no expiation for that. That the payback or the retribution will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his ummah, to his sahaba, do you know who the bankrupt one is? Who's the muflis? The one who has nothing? They said the one who has la mata', no money, no clothing. He said, no, that is not the bankrupt one. You can be poor, but that doesn't mean you're bankrupt. The bankrupt of my ummah is someone who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with sadaqah and salah and siyam and hajj and umrah, all types of good deeds. But with those, he also came with another batch of things. He wronged person. He oppressed that person. He ate the money. He consumed unlawfully someone else's money. He killed that person. And on the day of judgment, the people whom he wronged, they will get his good deeds equivalent to the wronging that they had to endure in this life. We don't know the amount. So if he has a million good deeds in his account, let's say 200,000 will go to Fulan and 100,000 to Fulan based on the oppression. It doesn't end there. The hadith continues until he runs out of good deeds. Imagine 10 million good deeds gone with the wind. Praying in the haram, mashallah, eat salah in 100,000. In spite of that, he will be bankrupt. But now it's supposed to be flat. He should be from the Ahl al-A'raf, the people that neither have good deeds nor bad deeds. You know, there's a hope for him. No. If he hasn't paid the people back yet, now their bad deeds will be taken away from them and placed on him, because he hasn't paid back everybody. He still owes people something until he will be thrown in Jahannam al-A'yadu billah. Ouch, man. That's one of the scariest hadith in Islam. Because now we have to pause and say, wait a second, what? How many people have I wronged? Or how many people I continue to wrong? So is it okay for when you keep this hadith in the back of your mind, we will all behave differently. So now even when you want to double park, you will say, wait a second, is this harming the people? Yes. Are you oppressing other people? Yes. Is this unethical, uncivilized behavior? Surely. You will say, forget about the full Tamiz. I will eat dates. Or you drive down, park somewhere. Walk on your feet, ya akhi. Walk on your feet. And this is the same discussion we have in Masjid Musrifa every Jumu'ah. Every time the khatib, every time there's a khutbah, I have to mention this at some point. Brothers come and park, double park. And they go to the masjid. Mashallah, he goes early too. So he stays in the masjid an hour before Jumu'ah. Then he stays half an hour after Jumu'ah. The whole time he's double park. There could be an old man who can't go to Salah. He might have a heart attack. His son might have to drive him to the hospital. He goes down to the car. He finds that there are three cars blocking him. Ya akhi, what kind of logic is this? What justifies it? Nothing. So that's one scenario. The parking. Don't park so that you block someone for your own convenience. Rather, make it inconvenient for you and walk, drive further, park your car in your own area and then walk back. That is the ideal behavior of a Muslim. Scenario number one. Scenario number two. Things that have to do with iftar. During iftar, because of the, mashallah, the magnitude of the appetite, if there's an open buffet where many people are getting food from one big plate, you see some brothers, they are afraid the food is going to run away or run out. Mashallah, he put one scoop, two, three, four, he has like a mountain of rice and chicken. And you see him walking back to the table with food for two dinosaurs and an elephant. And he's this skinny. Where are you going with this? Then he eats 10 bites. And then he leaves a plate behind. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Ya Shaykh Ta'ab, what are we doing here? This is, three people came late, didn't find any food to eat. This happens all the time. People who arrived late found nothing but a big bowl of nothing. And then you see leftover plates full of food, which most people are going to eat. They're not going to eat after someone else. This is inconsideration towards others. Take a little bit of food and be satisfied with it. If you're still hungry and there's still food, go for a second serving, no problem. That's the second scenario. Third scenario is the most amazing, because it has to do with the masjid. And I experienced something last night which I never thought I would experience. We obviously struggled in the first row. I have my comments on the first row and how we conduct ourselves there. But last night was the epic. So some of us whom Allah facilitates for, if they want to pray in that area near the imam, there's something called al-akhdhu bil asbab. You follow the reasons, the causes that Allah made for that. And it's really one thing. You come early. There's no magical solution for it. Coming early grants you the right to be wherever you want to be. Because this is not the house of Fulan and Fulan. This is the house of Allah. No one has a special VIP privilege. I like VIP privilege. For example, if you earn miles, when you travel, you become a silver member or a gold member, you have nice privileges. You have the priority boarding, you have a lounge. Alhamdulillah, no one is going to be mad at you. If when people are boarding the plane, because you're a silver member or gold member, you go through a special line, the queue that is only 3 people. And no one should be mad at you that you were given access because you earned these miles. No problem. VIP treatment, if you receive it in the worldly life, more power to you. In the masjid, there's no VIP. There isn't such a thing. Because you're, I don't know who, therefore you sit wherever you want and you manage the thing like it's your uncle's home. No such thing. If you want to be in the front, you have to earn this spot. You have to earn it by coming early. So yesterday, I was praying in some random masjid because I had some activity afterwards and I wanted to be near that place. After the adhan was called, I bring my rug with me. Some people wonder, why do I have a rug? Am I trying to, you know, treat myself in a special way? No. It's simple. The simple reason behind it is that it's plain. And I dislike rugs that have design on them and decoration because the shaitan confuses me. He tries to, you know, confuse me or distract me with the type of decoration. Sometimes I see faces in them. This is me. This is my weakness. I bring a plain rug which removes this distraction. There's no other reason behind it. So I have my rug and I went there, alhamdulillah, early enough to be where I'm at, close to behind the imam. After the adhan was called, okay, there's like a minute left for the iqamah. I'm sitting, someone comes from behind and he grabs me by my shoulder and he pushes me. Mind you, the only thing that can fit between me and the person next to me is a cockroach. As a cockroach, an insect, no human being can fit. No, this brother moves me. And then he begins the salah on my rug, technically. And I'm now, you know, my legs, I'm all trying to disappear in this area to allow this brother, I don't know where he came from, to pray. No, it doesn't end. The muaddin came now to call the iqamah. He was in a 2 minute sujood. He's in his own world. Ya akhi, they call him the iqamah. We need to pray. He's still in sujood, mashallah. He's feeling the khushu'. He's by himself in this world. We don't exist. And we're all waiting for him to finish. He finished. When he saw that the muaddin almost done, the muaddin has no place. And he looks at him. And the whole row is looking at this brother like, the muaddin. And he's like, whatever. So the muaddin has to go pray somewhere else. Because Mawlana is the sheikh whom we all have to accommodate. No, it doesn't end. Then before the takbir, he grabs the water of the imam. No, wallah. I was sitting in the masjid like, is this a comic? Is this a prank? Someone's going to show me a candid camera afterward? He grabs the water of the imam and he drinks it. And then we begin the salah. And in the salah, when we reach Ameen, wallahi, I had to close my ear. Because this brother was screaming Ameen like he's the only person in the world. The loudest Ameen I've ever heard in the salah. Then when he get up from ruku', he's making his own dua with his hands. رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا. He went into his own adhiya, which are not even part of the sunnah. And that was his daydana, that was his stance, the whole tarawih, until he left. You wonder sometimes, how can we be so inconsiderate towards others? This type of behavior is absolutely unacceptable. So once again, for this idea of the front row, my brother, if you come early, then you are entitled to this place. If you want to go to the bathroom, no problem. There's a hadith from the Sunnah that says that if a person was sitting in a spot, he has the right to go back to it. So you have to go renew your wudu, or you have to go make a phone call, or you have to do something. You put something that reserves your spot. Not that you call your friend who's in the masjid already, say, put the thing for me, I will be coming after half an hour. So you come, you find the first six spots are taken, no one's there. And now you have to pray over here, but there's no one here. He comes 10 minutes before the adhan. La ya habibi. You cannot do this. This is a house of Allah. And the list goes on of things that have to do with consideration. Related to this is the food we eat, and therefore the smokers. I hope and pray that nobody is a smoker at this point in time, especially now with the jack up of the prices and the taxes. This falls under the same category. Again, what you eat in terms of especially garlic, onions, or certain spices, if they emanate a bad odor, whether from the mouth or from the body, this is again something that the Muslims have to be mindful of, because you're not alone. Especially in the salah, when you make a lot of movement, ruku and sujood, this kind of disturbs your stomach, so you might burp more often than outside. And usually the bad smell comes with the burp. It doesn't just come with the mouth, because you can brush your teeth, right? You can chew a gum. But that smell actually comes upon burping. And that burp, for some people, is unavoidable in the salah. And so you see brothers, mashallah, for iftar with the garlic from bake 1, 3, 4. You say, ya akhi, you're going to pray taraweeh after the ah, shaykh, mashi halak. Mashi halak, what do you mean mashi halak? You will murder the person next to you in the salah. You're not even thinking about it. But this is also related. And the last thing is children. It is our responsibility to train our children to attend the house of Allah, to come to the masajid, to learn. But there is a duty on our part. And I was going to speak about this by myself, but subhanAllah, Sheikh Hamza told me, when I told him I want to give a talk, he said, if you can please highlight the issue of the kids. I said, it was already on my mind. Because a few days ago in the masjid, in my local masjid, a young man, ya Sheikh, he brought his son who was wearing technically diapers. He's wearing shorts that are above the thigh. And this boy was standing in the salah dancing. He's standing in the salah, he goes like this, he goes like this. He does sujood on his own. We're still paying, the imam is still reciting Fatiha, he's already making sujood. Then he walks away. He walks from the road to the end of the road, goes to the back row, then comes back. And his father, mashallah, tabarakallah, as if he has nothing to do with him. To the point that he wondered after the salah, where is his father? I want to wait to see him. When is he going to go to his father? So I can go speak to his father. If you want to bring your son to the masjid, habibi, you have to control him. You cannot let your son come or daughter be a distraction to the musallim. Some one kid can ruin the taraweeh for the whole masjid. They leave him in the back, they're running and playing fireworks, and screaming and playing hide and seek and playing catch. What? This is a masjid. There are other people that are trying to pray. So either you have trained your child to behave in the masjid, or don't bring him yet. There isn't anything in between. There's no let him learn. You cannot teach him on the expense of others. And it's not rocket science. I mean, you're not going to teach him how to fix, solve mathematical equations. It's about talking to him. Habibi, we're in the masjid, there are other people. Please, sit down and behave. If he's too young to understand, he's too young to come to the masjid. If he's old enough to understand, then he will behave and act accordingly. So this is also, again, another area of consideration towards others. I believe, wallahu a'lam, if we all thought more in a more considerate way towards each other, a lot of these conflicts and fights and issues and heartache will be, taken away and removed and eliminated. But it's about being proactive. Let's think about it. Every time we want to do an action thing, what impact does it have on others? And then either we go for it or we avoid it. So that's all I wanted to share with you. Jazakumullah khair. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.